Esau.
In this week's parsha, asked for Elohim, Asher Yehu Faninu, these gods that will walk in front of us. And why? He Zem Moshe Isha Asher Hayu Lefaninu Lo Yadanu Mehayu Lo. This man Moshe, you know, that brought us to wherever we needed to go, we have no idea where he is right now. So the Ramban, there's a famous Ramban in this week's parsha that really ties into everything we've been talking about over the past couple of months. Elohim Harbe Ibrahim, they wanted a lot of gods. Kizem Moshe Isha Shalom Eretz Yisrael Vayamor Lanu Aderef Nalabal Lo Yadanu Mehayu Lo. Because this man Moshe, you know, who taught us where to go, which way, which direction to head in, which direction not to head in, he's telling us which way to go, we have no idea what happened to him. Now we need a lot of gods to do that for us. But his Lashon doesn't sound the right way. It's not what Rashi is saying. See, if the Ramban was trying to say that Rashi was wrong, he would have said Minatemahu. He would have said Bein Tomar. He would have said something is wrong with Rashi. Ein Lashono Mechuva means it's within Rashi. You're just misreading Rashi. They didn't want gods. This pasuk, which is talking about the Elohus, is a key to understanding what the ego was and what those who were doing it were thinking. We know that no Jew thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was God. Moshe Rabbeinu was clearly not God from Har Sinai. Every single one of the Jews at the Egel, who were around by the Egel, was out 40 days after Har Sinai, clearly knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was not a God. That's obvious. Okay? That he himself, with his power, is able to do these signs and the wonders they saw in Mitzrayim. So what reason did they give that all of a sudden when Moshe Rabbeinu is gone, that we have to have these gods? That's question number one. It can't be that they really wanted a God. Number two. Okay, the theory of Elohim Asher Yehu Lefaneinu Lo Shiun Nosnim Lam Chaim Bolam Hazo Bolam Haba. They weren't asking for Elohim to give us life in this world or life in the next world. They wanted Elohim Asher Yehu Lefaneinu to go in front of us and to help us on our paths. That's what they wanted. Hayim Evakshin Moshe Acher. They wanted another Moshe. Amru Moshe Shahor Lanu Aderach Min Mitzrayim Badeinu. That Moshe that taught us the road from Mitzrayim until now. Shayom Matzayim Moshe, all the travels that they had done, although they hadn't done that many so far, only five, but they were all done. Al Pi Hashem Biad Moshe, he knew all that he's lost. Right now, the little Moshe Akar, we should make for ourselves another Moshe. Shiora Haderos Levaninu Al Pi Hashem Biado, that there should be a road given over to him. And that's why they said Moshe, the man that brought us out of Mitzrayim. Loa El Asher Elam. We're not looking for another God that brought us out of Mitzrayim. That's not what we're looking for. The historical Isha Elohim. We need a man of God. That's what we're looking for. Something to take over for Moshe. You can understand that Mitzvahs Aaron Moshe Rabbeinu. The answer that Aaron gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. So said, what did this people do to you? Said Moshe to Aaron. Moshe screamed at Aaron, what do these people do to you? You have brought a great sin upon the nation of Israel. How could you have allowed them to sin so badly? How could you have allowed this to happen? Said Moshe Rabbeinu to Aaron. What was Aaron's answer? Classic answer. His answer was, Yomruli, they said to me, Kumase lanu Elohim, get up and make for us gods. Vamalahem, Lamizahav, and I said to them, who has gold? He spork of Yitra Leva Shakir Ba'ish. I will take it off and they will give it to me and I'll throw it in a fire. Says the Ramban, Aaron is not to Moshe, but Amalo Yechap Adoni. Aaron is saying to Moshe, don't get angry. Don't worry, I didn't do anything bad. He's like, I didn't do anything bad. I just told him to throw the gold in the fire and to come out with an idol. What do you mean? What was he thinking? Why would he have even said that to Moshe Rabbeinu? Ma chotol gedolam izu. You couldn't get any worse. You're trying to explain to yourself and you're saying, I just told them to make an idol. Well, what are you trying to say? Nobody thought that they wanted this as a god that kills and lets live. The kibla avodas aluhu saw them that they would accept the avoda of that god upon them. It would be in the place of Moshe, somebody to lead them on the way, but though he's not slew social arrow. Thank you, Lord, movie Raksha Asalam Aluim Asher Yoko Tambim Komcha. Aduni, Abim Komcha Aduni, Shul Yodam Ayalacha. All they were asking is to make something go in your place to let them know the roads. That's all they were asking. Vim Tashavim Lo. And if you returned, right? then they would forget about all this. And you see that's true. They only needed something to take care of them as long as you weren't with them. And if you would return, then immediately they take this little guy and they throw it away and they wouldn't need it anymore. That's exactly what happened. Right? As soon as they saw Moshe Rabbeinu come down from the mountain, what did they do? They threw away the eagle, they kicked it. Right? They allowed Moshe Rabbeinu to burn it. Israel's afro up in their mind. There was no fights. You had 600,000 people. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from Shemayim. They considered this their God. They would fight Moshe Rabbeinu to the death if they saw Moshe Rabbeinu come down. But as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu came down, they said, forget about the eagle. We didn't want the eagle. We wanted Moshe. We just wanted somebody to take over Moshe. Moshe's here. We don't need it anymore. There was nobody that argued. Nobody argued whatsoever. So what were they thinking? Hey, Aaron who asher hotziat tzura zos. Aaron brought out this tzura, this picture. They didn't tell him what to do. Shor or kesev or eiz is awesome. Any type of animal, what it was going to be. They wanted a lot. They wanted any animal. They just wanted something. They didn't know what would they should choose. The eiz atovalam, what would be the best for them? What was Aaron thinking? The midbar was an area that was completely desolate with nothing there. Nothing was around. That all comes from the north. The destruction and everything bad comes from the north. As the Pasuk says, the Pasuk in Yirmiyah says, from the north comes all the evil, a reference to Babel, coming down to Eretz Yisrael. It's not just referring to the king of Babel, it refers to all evil. We all know that the left is where Midas Adin is Sholet. Right is Rach Chesed, and left is supposed to be Midas Adin. And if you're standing toward the east, facing toward the east, like you do in order to face the base of Mikdash, then your left is to the north. You can do this, guys. North, east for you. North, east, west, south. So you're facing this way toward the east. That means that the north is really right there to the left hand side. That's the idea of what he wanted. In the Ma'aseh Merkava, the chariot of a Kadosh Baruch Hu that they saw at Har Sinai, they said, the Pnei Shor Ma'asmolar Ba'atam. That the shore, there's an axe on the left hand side, says Yechezkel, and that's what they saw in the Kisei HaKavod. L'chein Choshev Aaron, ki amakriv yored derech makom achurban. The one who destroys the goring axe will be the one that decides for them how to get through this destroyed area. Ki sham koko agadol, that's where his great koach is. Miosem ovdim sham le'el yare ruach mimarom. They needed something to help from above. Kasher netzal Moshe, just like he came to Moshe Benu, they needed some type of tzura, something there, to be able to take down that spirit and to allow them to go in the right direction. On the right-hand side of the Kisei HaKavod is an Adam, representing Moshe. That's if they're in Chesed. But at this time, Moshe Rabbeinu is gone. That means they're in Din. They're in a desert. They need the shore. The ox is on the left-hand side, and that was the concept of the eagle. And he goes on. I'm going through the basic idea of what he goes through, and then he goes into the Chad, and what the eagle is supposed to be within the Chokmah, the Mazalos. It's unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Okay? In Pasha Pshat, there was no sin with the Egel Azov. It was a massive mistake. They wanted another Moshe Rabbeinu. But clearly, this is the worst chait that anybody in Klal Yisrael could have ever done. Now sure, there could have been mistakes. It could have been that made a mistake, that people misunderstood it. They thought it represented some type of idol, and they started bowing down to it. There could have been some people that were like that. In fact, there is a gra that says there were only 600 people that were involved in the actual avoda of the Egel Azov. 600 people that bowed down. Maybe including, maybe not including the Erev Rav. There could have been that way. It very well could have been that way. But the way the Ramban is understanding it, the way that Aaron is trying to say it, and the way it seems to be from the Pasha Pshat and the Pesukim, and the way the Ramban is explaining Rashi, Ein Lashona Mechuv, and we look back at Rashi, now we can understand a little bit, Elohus Harbe Ivu Lahem. They wanted a lot of gods, says the Ramban is a reference to. They didn't know what Surah was the best to take down the Shefa from Shemayim. Kizem Moshe Isha Sha'olonim Eretzayim, this Moshe, the man that came out from Eretzayim, Hayamora Lanu Aderech Nalaba, he used to tell us where to go. We don't know what happened to him. Now we need a lot of gods lowercase g to help us along the way to know where to go and what to do. And the original idea was one for every part of the Kisya Kavod. How about a golden surah of a man, and a golden surah of a shore, and a golden surah of an Aryeh, and a golden surah of a Nesher? To be able to help us out wherever we needed to go. And Aaron chose the shore. To be able to help them in the area that they were right then, until they could get out and Moshe Rabbeinu would rejoin them eventually. Moshe Rabbeinu would come back. And that was the idea behind it. So unbelievable. So what was the chet? What was the problem? At the end of the day, the Egel Azov was so bad that Moshe Rabbeinu, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy all the people. Kill everyone. Everyone should have been dead. And Moshe Rabbeinu begged. And he begged and he said, Mecheni nami sifrach asher kasata, erase me if you need to from the Sefer. Just don't kill Bnei Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu wanted to leave them forever and give them a malach. Just like all the other nations. He said, I'll give you a malach. Michal, Matas, whoever the malach is going to be, somebody will be in charge of it from now on. And Moshe Rabbeinu begged and said, please don't. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him the Yud Gimel Midas HaRachamim. It's all in this week's parsha. And Hashem, Hashem, kill Racham Lachan. And what we scream out on Yom Kippur toward the end, what we scream out in Slichos on fast days, all that was given in this week's parsha, all of it was to be able to help Klal Yisrael in their absolute time of need. And in the end, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was maskim. But there was a destruction here. What did Bnei Yisrael do wrong? What did they do wrong? What was the issue? You know, there was a guy by the name of Richard who lived in Ve'e Yaakov. But you know him? Good. The guy by the name of Richard, he was an eccentric man, to say the least. And he used to come into the Beis Medrash and Beis all the time. And he used to scream at people. For whatever. And then one thing after the other. But he really, like, he was challenging them. I think he was normal at one point, completely normal, but he just, you know, stepped off the deep, went off the deep end at some point. And he used to just ask people the simplest questions and just destroy them with their answers. The simplest, the absolute simplest questions. So this was one of his questions. His question was, what was the Avera? And when people tell him about Avodah Zarah, they bow down to Avodah Zarah, Richard. Come on, I mean, what's the big deal, right? Richard would always say to them, you really think it was Avodah Zarah? You've never seen the Ramban? So he'd tell them all the time, haven't you seen the Ramban? And some people would tell, yeah, it's all the Ramban, but still Avodah Zarah. The man would be like, yeah, you don't know what to learn. That was that. He'd walk away from them. Other people would tell him, you know, other things, and everything would be around there, right? But he was just walking around the Beis Medrash asking these guys, and all the guys in Beis. Now, at the time, I was a second-year guy in Beis, which means I thought I knew everything. And I went there, and I went up to Richard, and I'm like, I got an answer for you, Richard. He said, what's your answer? So I said, Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, Shfichus Damim, and all the Averos from the Torah. Huh? And everything. And he looked at me, and he's like, all the Averos in the Torah. He's like, I can't understand murder because of Chur. Gilui Arayos, so they say that you matzer up a Avodah Zarah. You never matzer up a Avodah Zarah unless you want to do a riot. So in the morning when they had that party, there would probably some riots go around. So where do you get all the Averos in the Torah? So I said, based on a Kli Yakar, said, when you have a massive balloon, you fill it up with helium. Okay? If you take a little pin and you prick a hole right in the side of that balloon, that balloon's not going to stay afloat. Oh, but there's so much helium inside you. It's just a tiny little hole. It's not that big of a deal, right? You just make a tiny little hole, nothing's going to happen. There's nothing really wrong with it. We all know, I mean, those who have ever had a balloon, ever, that if you poke a little hole in a balloon, it's gone in seconds. It's gone in seconds. And even if you poke the tiniest, tiniest little hole, right, and you don't cause it to pop, you just get the air to slowly but surely come out. All you have to do is wait a day, and it's gone. It's a little thing in the ground. And if anybody goes by and says, like, what happened to the balloon? Who killed the balloon? It's obvious, right? All you did is you poked a tiny little bit of a hole in it, and it's done. There's nothing you can do about that. It's just the way things go. Klal Yisrael is the exact same way. Exactly the same. You poke a little hole in them, and you cause a little bit of a breach, and we are azim. Shlosha Azim Hain. There are three people that are brazen, that are willing to do anything, that have no shame, that just do not get what it means to stop. Dogs, one of them. It's good to be in that category, right? Roosters, not so sure what that means. And then Jews. We're Azim. It's Gemara Beitza, Chafei Amadeus, says it straight out, we're Azim. Because this is the way we are. you cause a breach in our system, in our belief system, in everything, anything that we have, and everything's gone. Gone. It can be immediate, or it can be gradual, but it's gone. You can see people that have been in yeshiva their whole lives, then one day they take one step out of the base medrash, and they go into business, and they're the greatest cheaters in the history of mankind. Unbelievable tzaddikim when they're in the base medrash. Unbelievable rishayim when they leave the base medrash. And to them it's not a stira. People don't get up in the morning and go to Wall Street and do their cutthroat business tactics without davening shacharis in the morning. They daven. They put on tefillin. They learn. They probably do dafyomi on the train or through a tape on the way there. Most probably. But that doesn't stop them. Because what boils down to is there might be a little tiny little bit of a breach, and they might not even feel it yet. They don't know. But once it's there, it eventually will be a floodgate. And eventually everything comes through. That's what it means by the Egel Azov. 40 days after Har Sinai, for 40 days they were perfect. The Medrash tells us there was no Yetzer Hara. What it means is that Bnei Yisrael didn't want to sin. They had no desire to sin. They looked up at Shemayim, and every time they just had that image of the Kisei HaKavod coming down on top of Har Sinai, they couldn't get that out of their heads. Because who could get that out of their heads? But all it takes is one little breach. One thing goes wrong. Moshe Rabbeinu was a little bit late in coming down. Kibosheish Moshe. Minahor. All it takes is a tiny little bit, and all of a sudden, that breach causes floodgates. And everything's gone. And you lose absolutely everything. And it's scary, because that's what happens to every person at any moment in time, and that was the real Avera by the Egel Azov. Avodah Zarah? Yeah, in a way it was Avodah Zarah. Was there Shrichus Damim? In a way there was Shrichus Damim. Was there Gilui Raos? In a way there was Gilui Raos. Maybe not by everybody. Not everybody took a knife and stabbed Hur. It wasn't like that. And even then, there's only one person who's Chayim Misa, according to the Gemara and Bava Kamma, the last guy. Not everybody did that. But everybody was involved in the breach. And when you have a breach in a system, then everything has to go. Tell me, if Moshe Rabbeinu was going to be the only survivor, what did Yoshua do? Yoshua's sitting at the bottom of the mountain the entire time, waiting for his master Moshe Rabbeinu to come down. Moshe Rabbeinu comes down, and Yoshua says, "Oy vey, what's that I hear in the machaneh? What's going on? Sounds like there's kol milchama b'machaneh." And Moshe Rabbeinu says, "You're missing it, Yoshua." Yoshua was affected by what happened in Klal Yisrael without even being there. He didn't hear it as a problem. He heard it as, "Oh wow, there's good stuff going on over there. Let's go check out what's going on." Moshe Rabbeinu threw down the luchos. What did Yoshua do? What did Bnei Yisrael do? Even if it was only 600 people, what was their reaction? You know what the reaction was? Like, crazy people. What's the big deal? Let's go back. That reaction is terrible. It's what we have desensitized ourselves to within all the crazy rampant killings and riots and everything that we've seen over the past years and years and years of watching whatever it is in TV and movies and in the billboards, in the street, and anything, a commercial. The worst of the worst. We've desensitized ourselves to the point where we sit there and we look at it and we say, "Yeah, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, it's not that big of a deal to you." Can you imagine what a Meir Sharon Chassid who has never seen this before in his life would think to himself? That Mendel Kaplan would watch a boxing match on TV and throw up on a carpeted floor because he's never seen a person bleed before? He wasn't a hypochondriac. That's not what the problem was. He said he was so sensitive to human life. How could that be? How could you allow yourself to watch such a thing? A person beating up another person? We're looking at football and we say, like, "Oh, that's an awesome hit." A real person should look at football and they're like, "Oh my God, that guy's almost dead. What happened to him?" They show Johnny Knox's injury how often at SportsCenter? How often? Tens of times? Twenties of times? 30 times? How many times do you have to watch a person's back go the wrong way? The entire wrong way. And everybody's looking at it like, "Oh, that's so cool." It's not cool. You just watched the guy almost die. Paralyze himself and completely... For what? For what? It's amazing. Absolutely amazing what we've brought ourselves to. That's the breach in the system. And you wonder why we've never been forgiven for the Egel Azov? Because Egel Azov exists by us every single day. All it is allowing ourselves to fall prey to our Yetzer Hara, not just stam, but to allow that breach to happen. And the longer that we allow that breach to be there, then the longer it is. And it's there forever. So what do we need to do? You can't just cut off everything from your life, right? There's no way that you can cut off everything. That's definitely true. I totally agree with that. There's no way that you can stop yourself completely. But there's a very big difference between allowing the breach to exist and putting on a Band-Aid. Even if you just put on a Band-Aid, the balloon is not going to lose that air. Now, Band-Aid's not great. You're going to have to change it once in a while, and things will happen to that Band-Aid. You have to make you have to be very careful, because once it adds one hole, it's very likely for another hole to happen. But you got to do something. Now the question is, guys, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about your own personal Egel Azov? What do you have in your own lives that you could work on that you think might be a little bit better? Again, think of everything you've been doing, davening-wise, learning-wise, being Adam Lechavera-wise, everything. What have you been doing? What can you work on? And what can you do better? If you can't think of anything, then come up to me. I will tell you. Because there's no one here except for maybe Rabbi Sheinfeld who I can't say to them, there's something up. There's something that I can help you with. So I don't think that this doesn't apply to myself as well. Of course, there are things that I think about every single day. That's what Cheshbon HaNefesh is all about. That's what it means to go to sleep at night. Think about what you did today and what you could do better the next day. You might not always succeed. You might sometimes make the hole a little bit bigger. That happens. But you have to do something. And you have to get up now. Because if you don't take that Egel Azov and smash it into little tiny bits, mix it in with a little bit of water and drink it, it's there forever. It's always going to be by you. And you're never going to go. Does everybody get the muscle, by the way? How your bad thing is the ego. Crushing it means stopping doing that. And the guy is you. You got that? Everybody should. That nimshal should definitely be there. This is the point of what the Ramban is saying. The Ramban's not trying to get out of it and just saying, ah, B'nai Yisrael didn't sin. That's not his point. It's not what he's trying to do. He's trying to explain to you that the Egel Azov was not as simple. They did Avodah Zarah. I never have. I'm better than them. And therefore, I have nothing to learn from the Egel Azov. The Ramban is trying to say that the most noble deeds, the things that you think you're right about, the things that you sit there and say to yourself, I'm okay about this. I've worked very hard. I should be fine now. Those types of issues are the ones that are probably the most problematic. The ones where you say, there's nothing going on by me, I've worked really hard on myself, I'm pretty happy with where I am, right there is that Egel Azov. And that's what you have to start working on. Start realizing what we've been doing and how we can start fixing it. We're going to stop with that for right now, but just keep this Ramban in mind. It's not just Stam that the Ramban goes out there and tries to argue with everybody. He's arguing for a point. He's arguing for a lesson. The question is whether you're going to take that lesson or not.